Well, what a change in 33 years. When I came here, I could bounce up to the pulpit. Would you like to see me do it now? I played on the church softball team. I thoroughly enjoyed that. Jerry Orr, you were second baseman, and I was first baseman. And I think we were the B team, weren't we? That was the men that were getting older. Now, the good boys, they made up half a team, just their family. And I know Tommy batted left-handed. I think Wesley batted left-handed. Boy, they could hit that ball down the first baseline. They nearly knocked me over one time with a ground ball. But things do change. I'm just glad that you can be here today. A lot of visitors, and I appreciate you driving over to Henderson today to be with us. And I hope that you can stay for the potluck. You know, I am a product of Church of Christ potlucks. Can you tell? Well, we're thankful for the opportunity to speak this morning for the last time to my favorite church, South Main Church of Christ. This church has been our home church for 33 years. Please bear with me this morning because this is not going to be easy. And this will not be your typical sermon, okay? It's going to be a little different, okay? But this congregation has been waiting for many, many months for our departure. And now the time is almost here. We are supposed to load up and move tomorrow. So we'll be moving to our farm that has been in our family for almost 100 years. So that's kind of special. Our house will overlook a beautiful valley where we will be able to see God's beautiful sunrises. We'll also be able to look in the distance and see a little stock tank that my dad and his dad built in 1929 during the days of the Great Depression. So family will be on our mind. And we will be attending the church that I grew up in. Of course, I don't know anybody there now. No, I know a few. But I have many great memories of Christians in that congregation that helped to shape my life and to develop my faith. And if I'm not mistaken, that congregation is the second oldest Church of Christ in the state of Texas. Well, events began to take place in 1984 when a great corduroy textile plant with 965 employees was forced to close. Unemployment in our county, Conway County, Arkansas, exceeded 25%. After the plant closed, so we're almost a disaster area, I guess. So that was indeed a dark and unsettled time in our family. But you know, God taught me patience, and He taught me about His faithfulness. And those were the things I needed at that time. So next time you feel defeated, or next time you face an unsettled time in your life, sit down and think of the image of God's Son, Jesus Christ, as he was suspended on that cross, and remember all of his words, and remember that Paul would say later, "For we know that to those who love the Lord, all things work together for good according to his purpose." Romans 8:28. To me, that's a great passage of assurance that Jesus will be with us no matter what. Well, things had been good for us in Arkansas. Sandra and I both had good jobs. And I was blessed to serve the congregation there with 10 other elders. Can you imagine 11 elders? They referred to us as the football team. But I learned so much from those men that I served with. Most of them at that time were in their 70s and 80s. And we had one elder in his mid to late 90s who was very active, and he was a visionary leader. I'll never forget Brother Green. Our church had the favor of the people in the community. The roots of our congregation could be traced back to the time that Harding University was in Marlton, Arkansas, before it moved to Searcy. The church had a major influence in the community for Christ. We lived in a community where members of the Church of Christ had the most members of any religious body in our county. Sandra and I enjoyed very much opening our home to the youth. We enjoyed having people over. We enjoyed taking the youth over to Harding University for spring activities. That was a good time. We had a great youth rally with Jack Axum up on beautiful Pettigean Mountain. It was attended by hundreds and hundreds of youth. I'm kind of giving the background that eventually brought us to Henderson. I had just completed my year as president of the Kiwanis Club. And how many of you remember Cleon Lyles, the great gospel preacher? Okay, I'm told that a long time ago, he held a gospel meeting here at South Main. But anyway, Cleon Lyles was my sponsor. And I really tried to soak in the wisdom from that godly man. And I tell you what, even in the sunset years of Cleon's life, he converted many men and women to Christ. A great man. Naturally, I enjoyed coaching youth baseball. We had some good boys on those teams. Hopefully, we built some character and some sportsmanship. And along the way, we won a few games. We were kind of in a building process, you know, like the Rangers. But we'll be there like the Astros someday. I hear an amen. God was good. God is still good. Yet we struggled with an uncertain future. The story, however, does not end here, as God connected the dots and brought us to Henderson, Texas, where on day one, we experienced a congregation of people. We could tell the love that was in this church the first time we visited. And the story continues, because, you know, I was unemployed. I needed a job. And I applied for a lot of jobs, but I applied for a job in Henderson that was a newly created job that had only been created a month before we moved here. And that job was offered to me. Now, you can call that what you want to. I call it the providence of God. I call it God at work, and God is still at work today. So it's been a wonderful run of 33 years. You were kind enough to allow me to serve as one of your elders for many years, and it's been a true joy to be a part of South Main. By the way, I was first encouraged to consider the eldership by John Wadlington. How many remember John and Jerry? And by James Bradshaw. Those two men encouraged me so much. So God has been good and has brought so many special people into our lives. But while God gets the glory, my wife Sandra, and she didn't know I was going to say this, she told me not to call her name this morning. But I tell you what, she is due a great deal of thanks, and she deserves it. Let me tell you, if you're not part of a church leadership team, you just don't know the sacrifice that elders' wives and preachers' wives make as their husbands serve. So, when I think of Sandra, I think of loyalty, generosity, benevolence, and thinking about the needs of others. You know, Proverbs 31 asks the question in the English Standard Version, who can find an excellent wife? And I want to tell you today, I did. And I've been truly blessed for almost 54 years. Now I want to affirm some people today that I worked with at South Main. You know, the word affirmation or the word affirm is a biblical, word. Of course, time will not permit me to name everyone that I worked with, but here's a few. I want to pay tribute today to our elders. It's where I have a little difficulty. But I tell you what. Well, I tell you, look on the screen at some of these young men. You know, some of them, like me, at one time had hair. Some of them at one time had flat tops. Some of them at one time wore bow ties. I hope bow ties will make a comeback. But their friendship, their wisdom, their unity, and their servant hearts, I'll never forget. With God's help, We have been able to work through some very difficult issues. Issues that would keep you awake at night, praying to God that He would give us wisdom to enable us to do what's right for Him and for this church. And I know He did, because He's always faithful. It's been a joy to be associated with a church that is so generous in its giving. Every time a great need is presented, this church comes through loud and clear. We just recently had an offering to help our members who are going through difficult times. And we get that example from the Bible, but this church to heart, and we had a wonderful offering a week or two ago. We have seen God answer prayers in such an incredible and powerful way. Many of you are here today because prayers were offered as we prayed that God would send people our way who could be taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to send people our way that could help to build up this church. And it was His will to do just that. And if you're a member of this church, and most of you here are members, you're not here by accident. And I want to tell you this, that while our elders and ministers were in meetings of planning the work here, meetings of how we could be more effective for the Lord, guess what? Our wives would gather in one of the homes, and they would engage in prayer. Thank God for godly wives of your leadership team who are so supportive. You're the best. So as elders, we work together in God's grace and providence. We were able to work together with a great sense of harmony and joy. Now, Ben, if you'll show some more pictures, it gets better. Wow. Our ministers. Really? You may have to take a second look. Do you identify those people? Wow. I think we have some more. Look at there. Wow. I believe James Rowell must have got his hair cut from T.J. Thornton. That's where I got mine. You recognize those people? Brethren, that's your staff. How about that? Is there anyone there that you don't know? Getting back to our elders, I've served a long time with Tom and Tommy and Bobby, and I think I know their hearts. They are men of God. But you already knew that. I will miss their fellowship so much. And most recently, earlier part of this year, Travis joined our ranks to serve as an elder. Travis loves the Lord. The Birdwells were an answer to prayer. And thank you, God, for sending them to South Main. To the congregation, I encourage you to honor these men because they love you. They love this church. They love the Lord. And on the main thing, they watch out for your soul. I've also served with other good men over the years. James Bradshaw, Jerry Brack, Ben Harris, Bo Crump, Bob Brown, Paul Zimmerman, and others. And thank you, God, to the deacons and ministry leaders who faithfully lead our ministries here. And to the many members who just quietly go about doing the work of the Lord among the congregation and in the community. Now, I would love to say something about everyone, but time will not permit. I will, however, say that everyone that's involved in a ministry here at South Main is vitally important to this church. In fact, there are no unimportant members in the body of Christ. Now, many of you will fall into this next group. Corinthians 12:28 talks about the fact that Christ appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, and some of the newer translations list the word helpers, those who work in administration, those who pray. But in the middle of this list is that word helpers. What would South Main do without helpers? They prepare the communion. They put pencils in the rack. They straighten the song books. You may think these are little things, but they're not. They serve at the visitor center. They greet the guest as guests come in. They send cards. They visit the shut-ins. They count the attendance. They prepare food. They send cookies to the schools. That's coming up. Miss Rosemary helped get that started, and that's a wonderful way to have an outreach effort in the community. Those that serve in the nursery. Tell you what, those that open and close the building. Those of you that do that will tell you that that is no small job. Because some people like to stay here 45 minutes after church is over. That's good, though. So what would South Main do without helpers? And you think about helpers in the New Testament. Think about the lady named Dorcas. She was known for making garments. Do we have a Dorcas in this church? I think we have many. Think of Andrew, who was a helper at just the right time for Peter. He brought him to Jesus. We have people in this church that bring people to Jesus. Would the paralytic ever have been healed had it not been for the four men that brought him to Jesus? They were helpers. And I want to pay additional tribute to the staff and support people. Bob, David, Elizabeth, Renee, Roger, Dickie, and James. And others that I appreciate so much, such as Greg and Robin McAdams. I tell you what, even to this day, they reach out and stay in touch with those that were in their youth group, giving them a kind word, a word of encouragement and support. And I appreciate the service of others that have served in that area, like Dave Haynes, Daryl Lanford, Tommy Ivey, many others. And I want to pay tribute to Renee and a host of our secretaries. You know, when we moved here, the two secretaries were Ann Bradshaw and Jaquetta Arbuckle. Sharon Brown, Karen Pritchard, and others. And I tell you what, the secretaries of this church are the backbone of this church. Boy, they, in spite of my deficiencies, they've made me look good. And they have always made a good first impression on visitors. Okay, I know of no other preacher who loves the Word of God like Bob Payne. And Bob preaches the truth of God's Word. And thank you, Bob, for reminding us that it's always right to do the right thing. And thank you for reminding us each Sunday that He, God, can do exceeding abundantly above all we can think or imagine according to the power that works in us. And to Him be glory in the church through all generations. Bob, you're loved in this church and you're loved in this community. Bob's preaching ministry has spanned almost 50 years, I think. He'll hit that 50-year mark next year. And I tell you what, I hope y'all do something for him. That's a challenge. But you know, we've enjoyed Tuesday morning Bible studies. The elders and the preachers. Been a very rich time. Okay. David is a gifted and multi-talented leader. He's well respected in the community. And he's taught our families how to have Christian homes. David has been a steady hand and influence on so many of our youth and young families who have needed wise counsel. And thank you to David for reminding us that faith begins at home. And I truly believe that God brought Bob and David and Elizabeth together to be leaders in their respective areas in this church. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thought I saw Elizabeth somewhere. She's in the nurse. She's one of those helpers. Okay. She is very creative. She loves children. And she has provided a quality children's ministry in this church. And she's doing a good job. And please encourage her. And then we are so fortunate to have Dickie Harris. Dickie, you are a super maintenance man. You're a handyman to do things around the building. And I know that you were taught this by your father, Ben. I know that you were also taught this by James Rowell. And I want to say about James Rowell that he treats this facility like it's his own. He treats this facility like it's his own house. And he takes pride in his work. So thank you, Dickie and James, for your service. Then we thank Roger for stepping up at a time when we needed a church treasurer. So Roger is managing the church finances, and he's doing it with professionalism and integrity. And also over the years, we've had others to serve in this area. You know, I'm thinking of Joe Davis, thinking of Ken Sabella, David Gravely, and of course y'all remember Danny Weems. Danny was our treasurer at one time. I want to pay tribute to Bob Brown. Bob is a Christian who bears fruit. Bob is a soul winner. Bob's work in the prison ministry has been outstanding. But he's had a lot of workers, men and women, that have helped in that ministry as far as teaching and in baptizing. And what, 509 souls baptized, and this is just early August. Wow. Thank you, Bob, for your example to all of us. And did you know this church has local missionaries? Missionaries like Bob and Rosemary Payne, who have been going to the Northeast for many, many years. And to Susan Roskus for her love for the Lord's work in Africa. And Jim and Donna Smith, who travel this land preaching the gospel. And I want to thank our wonderful teachers of the ladies. And I have good confirmation here that Neva Davis and Janet Thompson, along with some others, are outstanding teachers of the word. You know, our women at South Main are so blessed. And let me just mention briefly some people who have been role models over the years. Let me cite the faith of Doug and Diane Hopkins, the faith of Dale Craig, the faith of Leonard Jennings, the faith of Les and Lynn Lewis, the faith of Roy and Fern Beach. And I think of the memory of Mae Dawson. Some of you old timers like me will remember Mae Dawson was here every time the church door was open. And she was in pain a lot of times, but she came to church. And I think of the generous hearts of people like David and Janelle Roberts, Carol and Janet Thompson, the generosity of Joe and Hazel Nelson, and Hugh and Joe Phillips, who took care of the needs of our shut-ins. And I'll always think of Jeff and Margaret Hampton for their service and their example over so many years. And James Bradshaw, who lived his faith. James was out in the community, and he built so much goodwill for this church. To Tommy Good for his love of a cappella singing and for his leadership of the South Main Singers. And to Pat and Jerry Brack, who opened their home so many times to the youth over the many years. I want to also thank Jody Sorey for character building of so many young men and being a Christian influence on them. We appreciate you, Jody. And I have a prayer warrior. Her name is Michelle Thompson. Most of you know Michelle loves to pray to God. I commend her for that. I think of the ongoing card ministry of Virgie Hobson. Dan Cummings, the many, many years that you maintain the marquee, the sign out in front of our building, and then the many years you served as librarian of this church. We appreciate you, Dan. To Ben Bradshaw, Ben works behind the scenes, but these PowerPoint slides, they are a product of Ben's work, and he does his work well. And we have those that work in the sound room, Ben and Heidi and Wayne and Renee and others. And to Tom Jones, Tom has taught the Bible class that meets here in the auditorium for 38 years. Bobby Davis, 25 years going to Encounter, and for Bobby's love of our youth. And to Chuck Ashmore, for 29 years of staffing the men to serve in our assembly. And I want to thank those that, you know, have served on the school board. Don Brooks, Tommy Good, Paul Zimmerman, Wayne Cure, David Gravely. It's great to have Christian influence on the school board. And we've been fortunate to have serving as mayor of Henderson, Foy Brown, and Pat Brack. And I want to thank Lynn Jackson for her many good works. Lynn goes about doing good. I think of the influence of Wayne and Kim Cure on this church. And Melody, thank you for being here this morning. I think of the work of Roy Vinson and Charlie Arbuckle around the building. I'm thankful for the Chapmans for their work at the Visitor Center. I think of the time when probably our greatest time of service, and it was brought on by adversity, when we opened the doors of this church to 75 people who had been displaced due to Hurricane Rita back in 2003. Then I think of the work after the great tornado of 2015. When you reached out to this community with the love of Jesus Christ and you made a difference. Who would have thought that God would send a hurricane and tornado to encourage us to do outreach? Okay, we're ready for a slide now. If I had to sum up and describe South Main in a few words, I would say something like this. We are a group of imperfect people living real lives and experiencing real problems, all while serving a very real God. We laugh, we cry, we express loss, we celebrate victories, and we share in all of it as a church community. I need to go see Dr. McDonald. And what separates us from the world is an eternal promise and a risen Savior. And that's, yeah, praise God, and that's our spiritual DNA. Well, children are important here. And I'm going to have to skip over some of this. I know I'm going to lose my audience pretty soon. That wouldn't be the first time, would it, Brother Tommy? Okay. Look at that. There's a note that the children sent me. Some of you children are grown-ups now and are here this morning. But this says, thanks for all the stuff in the Red House. All the stuff. Thanks for the choices you make for this church. And thank you for guiding this church. And here's one I like. It's addressed to Mr. Elders. The four of us wanted to let you all know how much we appreciate the large portion of the budget that is generously given to youth activities. You know, I could go on and on with that. And I have a couple other letters here I'm not going to read, but some of you that have been here for a long time remember Jana Litton and Marynell Ashmore. They were both charter members. They're still alive today, and they are in their 90s. And guess what? Marynell is one of my Facebook friends. So it's never too old to learn how to do Facebook. Well, much has changed in the 33 years, but some things haven't changed. Human nature hasn't changed. The power of the destructive nature of sin hasn't changed. The word of God hasn't changed. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Of course, the need for the gospel does not change, nor the proclamation of it. We have a verse here, Acts 4:12, for there is salvation in none other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. So the gospel has to be presented. The need for evangelism hasn't changed. And I think the times that we're living in is more urgent that we get the message out. But you know, I view South Main this way. You are a light to the city of Henderson with a heart for the world. And you think of the mission offerings. And thank you, Wayne, for introducing the idea of an annual Missions Day contribution. Much good has been done there. But we represent the gospel to a needy culture. Now, let's get to my text. That was just the introduction. Acts 20:32 is my text. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. This is Paul speaking to the Ephesian elders as they gather at Miletus, and Paul is giving his farewell address to them. We have three blessings here. The first, I commend you to God. It gives me a great deal of confidence to know that it's the same God that converted those charter members of this congregation who began meeting in Bounds store in 1932. And then they met in the courthouse for a couple of years after that. Tell you what, there are boys and girls, there's youth, adults all over the world now that God is preparing for ministry. We have young men here today that may someday be your elders. We have young women here today who may someday be elders' wives, maybe a children's minister. So God is working ahead because he said he would build his church. and he is building it. He's moving forward. He's drawing future leadership from among many of you. So I tell you this, nations come and nations go, but God remains. Ministries are formed and sometimes die, but God remains. People come and people go, but God remains. And I really believe that the same God that has brought the church to this point in the 86 years of its history will continue in even a more blessed way. And I believe the future is bright here, just as bright as the promises of God. We talk about the teachings of Jesus, teachings of the apostles. We preach about sin, salvation by grace through faith that we read about over in Philippians. And let's look at the next slide, because I'm going to have to pick up some speed here. How about this one? Abundant sin is no barrier to the superabundant grace of God. I want to repeat that. Abundant sin is no barrier to the superabundant grace of God. And let's think about the great brotherhood that we are a part of. Christians, through the blood of Jesus, we are united in Christ, because there's no white church, there's no black church, there's no brown church, there's no red church in the Bible. There's only the blood-bought church of Jesus Christ. We're the family of God that's been born again. And as Bob quoted, I guess, last Sunday, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Not in a boastful or arrogant way, but in a confident way. And the great brotherhood of which we are a part, our brotherhood needs to be more united. We need to love and forgive one another. We need to be Jesus to one another. The world needs to see Jesus living in us. The world needs to see Jesus in the life, in the worship, and in the fellowship of the church. And everyone needs to see Jesus in the way that we love each other, as we forgive each other, and as we serve one another. And my prayer is that we return to being a unity movement. I'm going to pose a question, and just want you to think about this. Does it concern you that we have four congregations in Henderson? Something to think about. Okay, the second blessing of Paul, the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. I believe dark times are coming to America. I believe they're already here. Seems that everything that's been nailed down is being torn up. The wheels are coming off the wagon. There are those out there that would love to destroy our nation. There are those out there that would love to destroy the church. We have lives of influential elected officials from all parties that have crumbled under the weight of sin, wrongdoing, and corruption. We as a nation have departed from the fundamental biblical teaching. We must engage the culture. We must have revival. We must have renewal. We must have recommitment. You know, Katrina would not have been the disaster it was for New Orleans if the levees had held. But the levees broke. That's why we had such devastation. I sometimes see the church in America as the levees holding back a lot of floodwaters of great sin. The question is, are we going to stand up? Your leaders in the future will have to deal with heavy issues that were not here previously, because there are such things as cultural streams in America. A cultural stream is a movement within a country. If you oppose it, you are ridiculed. You are put down. You are marginalized. We are living here in America in a time where there is this great cultural stream. We're going to always struggle, but just remember that God has called us to influence our culture, to engage the culture, not to isolate ourselves from it. We have the next slide then, Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency at all times, you may have an abundance for every good deed. And he says, all sufficiency at all times in all things. Wow, what a great promise. Okay, I know you're going to navigate these cultural streams, and I encourage you to stand up for the Word of God, no matter what happens. And the last blessing has to do with giving us an inheritance among the redeemed or among the sanctified. When I think of inheritance, I think number one of our salvation, which of course is found in Jesus Christ. And two, I think of our reward, which is reserved for us in heaven, where our true citizenship is. And just remember that in the end, Jesus wins. And he wins big by a landslide. King of kings, Lord of lords, God of all gods. I'm just going to have to skip some of this, but we will be praying specifically that your love will overflow, that you will have a harvest of righteousness. You'll have a growing relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We'll be praying for lives to continue to be lived to the praise and glory of God. Now here's my final challenge as the church moves forward. Okay, I encourage you to take God's word seriously. To be a people who trust and love one another. To be open to the work of the Holy Spirit who abides within you. To be grace-oriented. To look to the future rather than to the past. And have clearly understood goals and monitor your progress in achieving those goals. And this last one perhaps should have been the first one. Always seek God's will. So I tell you, we do commend you to God, the word of his grace, to build you up. And someday in heaven, we will better understand what it means to have that inheritance. So, appreciate you bearing with me. God bless you. Go with God. That's my message to the church I love. Farewell. Goodbye. And amen. Some of you this morning may need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. That would be the greatest decision you could make. Some may need prayers from this church. But we're going to give you the opportunity at this time. Tom's going to lead us in, I believe, three verses of Just As I Am. Please stand.
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come, just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to whose blood can cleanse its spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thy love unknown has broken every barrier down. Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Be seated, please.
Sister Sandra, can you come this way? Now, y'all just hang with us, because when you got a family member that's fixing to move off, I know y'all just don't get up and run off while they're still sitting around. You want to visit as long as you can. And after 33 years, these fine people are leaving us. Ray and Sandra, we want to say thank you for all your, the time you've spent with us. They moved here in 85. Ray became an elder in 89. And I want to talk about just a few things that they were involved in while they've been here. Ray talked about us this morning and some of the things that we've done. So we're going to return a favor, Ray. But first I'm going to start with Miss Sandra. Let's see if this works. It did earlier. Who is that? Long time ago. You know, not too long after they got here, Stephanie went with us on a weekend retreat up to Pettyjohn. And Bert Brack and I slept in a U-Haul trailer, because we didn't have a tent, and every time we rolled over, that trailer went poop, poop, poop. But we've had great fun with them and doing things like this. All right, Ben, you're going to have to do it. Miss Sandra, you know that place? Sooner Youth Camp is one of the things she was involved in when they moved here. And continued, there's Kenny and Kara. You remember them, the Shavers, Kenny Shavers and all? They're still going. She was involved as a counselor years ago before we started going. just an influence on our kids then. Planning wedding showers. She's involved with that. Ladies retreats. That was down in Nacogdoches, I think, where, and she's on the left-hand side, if I'm not mistaken. She can probably find herself. The rest of us have to look longer. And Neva told me that what happens at ladies' retreats stays there. Is that right, Sandra? Yes, it is. Planning sessions for, yeah, there she was. Planning sessions for the ladies' ministry. Christmas parties, next one, Ben. I think that's a dinner where they get together and eat. And then Christmas parties. Taking food to the sick. Her and Ray have been very good about doing that. These are just a few of the things that she's been involved in. And Ray mentioned several other things. And Ray served with 6 secretaries, 60 different deacons, 8 different ministers, 7 associate or youth ministers, 2 interns, 3 Hispanic ministers, 16 elders, 12 past elders, and the 4 present elders. He's worked with appreciation dinners, and the picture you see here is one weekend, the last two, that one. And this one was a weekend retreat that the elders had where we sat down and we planned different things and heard how other congregations worked with the youth and connecting the youth within their congregations. In the missions field. Him and Bo were, and Wayne were very involved in getting us connected up with John and Esther years ago, and they served us great in Madagascar. This picture was taken at an appreciation dinner where the elders get together with the staff and buy them dinner and say thank you for your work. And Ray is, we divided up and talked about who, different people, like he may have been talking about Renee, but he also says some things that embarrassed Miss Sandra, so she just had to cover her head. So, I'm sorry, Miss Sandra, I just had to. It was too good. But we are very close as an eldership, and that's going to be missed. And here's a fellowship out in the fellowship hall. Men's retreats. The next several slides, Ben, if you'll, or Wayne, whoever's in there, will scroll through at men's retreats where we would go out on the weekends and the men themselves would go through, study time. And this is probably one of our biggest ones. Kevin, I think you're in this one. I think on the right-hand side, about second row back, in front of Wes, if I'm not mistaken. And so these were times that Ray was influential on the rest of this church family, not only encouraging us as elders, but also the congregation. This one was the last one we had was up in Lone Star with Steve Holliday. VBS. Ray would volunteer to sit out at the front desk and sign kids up for VBS. And church celebrations out at Joe and Kathy's for the 4th of July and different things that we would do. And times of support during the community. This was during a tornado. We were cutting up trees and yards. I think this was at the Jennings at Dorothy's house, where we were clearing a tree that fell. Ray wasn't where he could use the chainsaws and stuff, so he brought us lunch and water. Some of those small things that need to be done, and a lot of you sometimes don't know the support that Ray and Sandra have given us over the years. So for the elders of the congregation, thank y'all for being part of our family. And as our tradition, Travis, if you would so you won't forget us. And I'm sure that won't happen. But our birdhouse. Are you thinking you was going to get away without one? Oh no. Since Bobby Ferguson has been where he couldn't build our birdhouses, Travis and DJ have taken on that duty. And so from us and the rest of the congregation, our South Main birdhouses, now's my time, Ray. I'm sure Tommy and Tom are also feel the same way. During difficult times, like you talked about earlier, you've been my sounding board. So if you get a call some night from me, it's to talk to my sounding board. Because you know as well as the other four of us how difficult this is sometimes. And that we need to talk with one another. But when I became an elder, you was very influential in my life. And from myself, thank you. All right, I'm going to ask the rest of the family and all the elders to come up and the rest of the immediate family come up and get around Ray and Sandra. Tom's got one more verse of one more song, and then I'm going to have a prayer for us.
Let's all be standing, please, for the song and the prayer. God be with you till we meet again. By His counsel's guide uphold you, with His sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet.
I have one announcement I need to make. Sal's is closed. Jalapeno tree burned. So stay with us for potluck. And when you go out and go into the hallway, please line up down the hallway because we have special tables for Ray and Sandra up against the wall where we normally file in. So go to the right and get in line down through there. Stay with us. Will you bow, please? Father, we come before you. And we thank you for these servants that have been with us these years, that have influenced us and encouraged us and have been examples to us as to how to live like Christ. Father, be with them as they move back to the farm. Father, we know that they'll be a good addition to their next congregation. And Father, you know our love for them. and their love for us. Keep them safe. And as we fellowship and take on nourishment, we thank you for the food. We just ask that you'll continue to bless them and this congregation. And through Christ we pray. Amen.